Okay, it's Wednesday night. Welcome back. American Idol has just ended, and we're back with another DonkeyTaco.com podcast. I'm Reed Kerr. With me, as always, is lovely wife Kimberly.
Howdy.
We're down to five. We are now Casey-less. We talked about that on the podcast earlier tonight. We're down to five. I would think, before we talk about the performances, I would think that James is probably the favorite right now. Scotty close behind him, and then everybody else sort of lumped in there. We've got, it's a good final five.
They're all pretty close, not necessarily because they're all so good.
Yeah, you're right. That's a better way to put it. They're all right there together. I think when Pia got voted out, everybody just went into a big bucket, basically. And James has shown a lot in the last couple of weeks. Scotty has just universal appeal as the young guy who sings country the same music, same time, same kind of thing every week, basically. And everybody else is still right there.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Same bat. Y'all on my mind. Tonight, it was, Now and Then? Did you notice this? All five of the songs sung, the 70s songs or 60s songs or wherever they were, all five of the old songs were ballads or started as ballads. They all started slow.
Okay.
I think they, you know, with younger singers who didn't know a lot about it, they just all decided, well, I better go slow and soulful, even the ones that turned into something later on. Just something I was kind of interested in. Who do you want to start with tonight?
We can start with James. He started the show.
James starts it off with Closer to the Edge, which is a 30 Seconds to Mars song.
Mm-hmm.
One I'm not really familiar with, not a big fan of, but he was okay.
Jared Leto's kind of hot.
He was great in Fight Club. That's all I remember.
Nobody takes a beating like Jared Leto.
Yeah. Unless it's Hillary Swank. Yeah. Yes.
No, that's nobody gets beaten to death like Hillary yes. Swank.
Who is he? What are they? Dollface. That's what his character was in.
Really?
Yeah.
I never really even knew he had a name.
It's in the book. I don't think it's in the movie.
Oh, okay.
But he was the one, remember, that, spoiler alert, since this movie is like 13 years old, that Tyler Durden sort of takes an interest in, and the narrator gets jealous, and one of their Fight Club things just beats him into a hamburger.
Yeah.
Yeah. He not so pretty for the last scenes.
Yeah, he looked good in the beginning, but yeah, he looked kind of monstrous.
Anyway, James started with Closer to the Edge, and then I thought he did a good job on it. It was like this, it was the song you expect to hear James sing.
Yeah, I would like to have heard him sing something that I'm actually familiar with, but maybe, you know, other American Idol fans are familiar with that song. I'm just kind of out of the loop.
Right. Then the second one he did. Tonight it was Now and Then, new song, old song. The old song was Without You, and he was just breaking down emotionally in this from like the time that he shook hands with Sheryl Crow. I mean, think about the video. Everybody else comes in and shakes Sheryl's hand and is just in awe to see her. And James is like, here's the first three notes of the song, and he goes out by the dumpster to cry and call his family.
Yeah.
I mean, he feels it.
Maybe I've just missed the backstory on James.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really realize he had a kid.
I didn't either. I don't remember them telling. And
I know. I mean, I remember hearing he had a fiance, and I was thinking, oh, he's kind of young for a fiance. Could you whip your hair back and forth again?
I whip my hair back and forth. I whip it real good. if we needed to do promos on this show, by the way, that would probably be in it.
So you're saying that they should do a mashup of Whip My Hair and Whip It from Devo?
Have you heard when I know this, when you hear that Whip My Hair back and forth song, if you're like me, your whole brain shuts down and you don't listen to it. There is some Whip It in there.
Oh, okay.
There's some Devo-esque Whip It real goods. So, right. And by the way, that Friday song was recorded in a booth somewhere for like $100.
Friday.
Yes. That is an awful song. But it's not a song that's on a major label. Will Smith didn't have anything to do with it. I still think Whip My Hair Back and Forth is the worst song of the last 10 years. It's like a ringtone that lasts for 3 minutes. I'm just saying.
The It's Friday song
yes.
has really grown on me.
Yes. We were driving somewhere the other day, and you just said off the top of your head, well, it's Friday. And both of us immediately, it's Friday. Yes. It's like the worst, best, worst thing that's the best ever.
There are parts of it that are catchy. Did you see that video with Katy Perry singing it?
I did not. I'll be right back.
Yeah, you probably did. You just didn't realize there were words coming out of her mouth.
She, I think, is the finest entertainer of our generation.
Yeah.
Whatever it is she does.
She did a good job on it. I mean, she did
kind of like a bad job on it.
She did kind of like a slow version of it, you know.
My favorite version is probably the one with Stephen Colbert on, Jimmy Fallon's show, where Taylor Hicks breaks through in the end to play harmonica for no apparent reason. Yeah, it's just as much of a train wreck as you would expect. I'd like to see her on the Idol finale. What do you think?
Rebecca Black?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's got the biggest song of the year that she recorded for like $20. And
it wasn't $20. Her mom spent a couple thousand dollars on that. But I actually felt much better about that once I actually heard the story. When I first heard it, I really thought that it was something that had been released.
Yeah.
You know, like she, like you said, been signed to a label and all that stuff. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so horrible. But then when I found out about it, you know, found out, you know, the real story behind it, I thought it was kind of cute. I mean, she didn't write the damn song, and it's not like she...
But nobody did. It was assumed it was put together by Mad Libs, wasn't it? Just
that's what it sounds like.
But hey, yeah, but you know what? Between her
in the front seat.
Between her and that Friday song and Antoine Dobson and his you know, that raping her buddy in here, auto-tune the news thing. Those people have made an awful lot of money off of not being really that good, but being catchy. So I salute them. Whatever you got to do to make a living these days. Okay, the Without You that James did.
Mm-hmm.
There was one part in the song, and they actually showed this at the end when they show before the credits, when they show the highlights and the numbers, that he hits that note, and he's just flat as a hammer. I mean, but he hangs on to it until the tears just shoot out of his eyes. And I don't want to laugh. That's a lie. I really do want to laugh, but he just wears everything on his sleeve. I don't know if that's just the way he is. I'm sure it's got something to do with his condition, but it's just all right there on his face, and it's very cool to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, I mean, as an example, several weeks ago when Hulk Hogan was on the show,
oh, yeah.
I mean, he looked like a 5-year-old kid. He was so excited.
Right. And he's 20 and has a kid.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I like seeing people that actually have emotions.
Right. And he, now 2 weeks in a row, we talk about taking chances. And I think this is the Danny Gokey Memorial taking chances on Idol discussion that I always have. You take a chance, it better pay off. Last week, starting his song a cappella was great. This week, doing a song, you know, that it's not like there were only 5 songs released in the 60s and 70s. He had plenty of choices, but he heard that one. We didn't even see him warm it up. We didn't even see him working with Jimmy.
Yeah, we never saw him sing it at all in the rehearsal.
He heard it. He went outside to cry by the dumpster, and of course, they're filming him. That's got to be a lot of fun. But he just comes out, and it might have been even better because we didn't see it coming. We didn't know what he was going to sound like. He got no constructive criticism. We just knew, oh, this is going to be emotional. Here comes James. And that was a great performance. And it was very un-American Idol because they were right. He was off a couple of times during the song. But, you know, he just meant it. He sang it like it meant something to him because it did.
Mm-hmm.
And, He is the, as far as I know, and you know, we did the odds on the earlier podcast, he is the leader in the clubhouse. He is better than even money as the winner at this point.
Well, you know, and he is my favorite, but as we have seen from, you know, the Pia fiasco,
mm-hmm.
if people just assume he's the favorite and that he doesn't need their vote, then he'll go home.
Right. And
I mean, it's as easy as that is. People just not, you know, thinking, oh, I've got to call, you know, I've got to vote for him. I actually did vote for him tonight.
Did you?
Yeah.
And the other thing I have is that if James goes up against up against Scotty in the end, I don't know if he'll win because Idol likes to go safe.
Yeah.
But that's a story for as we get a little bit closer.
The people that vote for American Idol don't necessarily have the best taste. I mean,
well,
you know, it's been very hit or miss over the years, and you're right. They usually go for the middle of the road safe bet.
Yes.
Yeah.
They go for the guy they'd most like or the girl that they'd most like to, you know, have in their kitchen and not the person who has the best presence sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, the next performer, and I bring this for you, Jacob. You hate him. You want to have his babies. You want to have like 1,000 of his babies. Jacob was, okay. I hated Jacob to start the season. I thought he was awful, but he has grown on me, and I think he's done a good job last 3 or 4 weeks maybe. But the sheer testicular fortitude to go, hey, this is a duet, I'm just going to sing it myself, that seems like a bad idea. That's a chance you don't take.
He is a douchebag. He is.
Is he a bag of douche?
Okay, I don't really have a problem with people being confident.
Right.
But he is arrogant, and, you know, I haven't forgiven him for his man in the mirror crap, you know.
If America puts me in the bottom three, then they just don't like looking in the mirror.
Like he's the only one that ever sang that song. Yeah. He didn't write that song.
No.
We've had years of hearing Michael Jackson sing it, and I have to say it meant a lot more to me to hear Michael Jackson sing it than him. Anyway, he's just arrogant, and he has bought into the judges'
utter crap.
Yeah.
The judges' utter crap.
You're the best singer that, you know, they're like, well, you're one of the best singers we've ever had on this stage. And
didn't Jennifer Lopez say that was the best performance they'd ever had?
I think she said the best voice. He had the best voice.
Okay.
That had ever been on the show or some crap
if
like that.
Jacob is the best anything, she's lying. Because even when he's good, he's not the greatest ever.
No.
It's just, okay, I've gotten over the fact they're not going to give a whole lot of constructive criticism. Although I know they are doing that now as the show gets, the cast gets smaller. But Jennifer Lopez is still just, everything is the greatest I've ever seen. She's like the female Bill Walton. Everything is absolutely the best that she's ever known.
She was actually kind of complimentary of his first song. Mm-hmm. Randy is the one that was just like, you know, I didn't like it. I don't think anybody on the stage should ever do a duet alone.
Yeah, that's...
That's not your style of music. I don't think that's you. You're not a Chris Brown. You're more of a Luther. And, you know, of course, Jacob kind of argued with him that Luther did other types of songs, which he did.
He's right, yeah.
But that just wasn't the song for him. And he does not handle any type of criticism well.
No, he doesn't. There's a lot of arrogance there. You're right. Which is odd because I would detach myself from my arrogance when I kept winding up in the bottom two and three.
Yeah.
But he's still swinging with what he came with. He's doing the gospel thing.
Even tonight when they said something about him being kind of, he considers himself the underdog. Mm-hmm. And he said it's because of where he comes from. Not anything to do with his singing. Like people, no one cares where he came from.
I don't know where he came from.
Oh, he said tonight it was Compton. Hmm. And, you know, but that's the first time I've ever heard that. It has nothing to do with anything about him. No, I don't know. When people come on that show, to me, you know what they show you. And you know what they put, little packages they put together for him or whatever. But no one really knows them. And to say that he's the underdog because of his background or whatever, I think is just him making excuses, just like the whole, you know,
the man in the mirror.
Yes.
Thing. If Jacob were to actually cover Straight Outta Compton, I would vote for him the maximum number of times allowed by law. The second song he did tonight, and coming up after this, Jacob with a Nazareth classic. Well, really, there's only the one. I mean, there's Hair of the Dog, but you can't do that on television on a Disney show because it's got dirty words in it. So he gets Love Hurts. And this does lead me to my favorite moment of the show, I think, which was Sheryl Crow singing it, showing him how it goes.
Right.
I don't like Sheryl Crow. I mean, I've never owned one of her albums. I don't turn her songs off the radio, but she's never been one of my favorite artists. But boy, she sang that really well. Mm-hmm. She had that softness in her voice. And I was listening to it and I was like, who hurt you, Sheryl? Who? Tell me. Someone hurt you very badly. Why does love hurt? Was it that guy on the bike?
Was that one bald bastard Lance Armstrong?
Was it Kid Rock? Was it Lance Armstrong? Who hurt you? Was it Michael Jackson? Tell me.
About as much chance of her, anything going on between her and Michael Jackson as her and Jacob.
Well, the kid was not his son. I thought Love Hurts, I thought it started well, and then about 45 seconds into it, I just thought he was whining. Just
he was. That's the one of the problems I have with him. It's not him. Well, maybe it is. I don't like the tone of his voice. I don't like the way he sings. It's very, very churchy and very overly dramatic.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same every week.
He cannot just sing a song. When she sang that song, it was just a, you know, soft, kind of tender song.
Mm-hmm.
When he sings it, it's like the he's just in the worst pain that he's ever been in his life. Somebody just yes. kicked him in the balls.
Right. Love Hurts is a song about lost love and, you know, how it takes a long time to get past. It's not a song about prison rape. And that's what it sounded like.
You were. Is that the one where you were actually like, was that the song you said something about? Is somebody raping him?
Yes. He was just, okay, on the first song, he had that insane sort of crotch thrust pogo dance going on. That was not good.
That was hilarious. I was yes. actually like, oh my God, you've got to come in here and see Jacob gyrating right. on the stage. And it then was awful.
It was not good.
And the boy has no
And that's the same
rhythm.
Guy that wouldn't sing Let's Get It On. I'm just bringing
True.
That back up again.
Yeah.
And then the second song, Love Hurts, he was just way, way
That
over
probably
the
would
top.
Have been the most sexless version of Let's Get It On. Can you imagine him singing Let's Get It On?
Like a Starland vocal band cover, yes.
Do your impersonation of Jacob singing Let's Get It On. Come on.
I don't have one of those.
We'll work on it.
Okay, that's maybe by the end of the show. I can't, I'll hurt myself if I try to. Because he's, let me say this, he does have a good voice. He's got a really powerful voice. But it's the same every week. He doesn't use it well, and a lot of singers on the show, Lauren and Haley both also do this. They mistake a lot of notes for vocal strength. They mistake singing a note instead of going ah, they go ah. That doesn't mean anything. It's like people who want to sing the national anthem, you know, and turn it into a 6-minute vocal run.
Well, it's kind of like Mariah Carey syndrome, except Mariah yes. really can sing.
Yeah, Mariah
and she
can
really
get there.
Can hold notes and, you know, right. sing really high notes.
Mariah, Christina, they can do that. But just some of the songs that were sung tonight, when you need one note, just hit the one note and hit it cleanly. Like James did last week. When he was singing a cappella, he could have been all over that. He just calmed it down. And there's a time and place for that. And it's not all over the song because then we become immune to it. Okay, Jacob, he sucks. Anything else that you got? Did I sum up your position?
I guess that's pretty much it. He did not like it, though, when Randy,
no.
was, that first song, was telling him that it, you know, he just kind of stared like, oh, my God. I can't believe they're saying something.
I want to listen to the girl. I want to listen to the girl. Lauren was up next. Lauren's new song was Foot on the Floor. Flat on the Floor. Flat on the Floor. I just wrote it.
I wouldn't
me.
Know.
It's a country song. I thought she did a good job with it. Good stage presence. She didn't move a lot. Just stood there.
Well,
let the song come
Cheryl
to her,
Crow
as Sheryl Crow said.
Yeah, told her not to move
yeah.
much.
I thought that was pretty good. Second song. The Righteous Brothers song, Unchained Melody, which I will go on record as saying I think is overrated. I think a lot of Unchained Melody's mystique is from that ghost movie with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and the clay and all that. I think a lot of it comes from that because it's, to me, it's not one of the greatest songs of all time. It's more popular than it is good. But I thought she did okay with it. Another one of those times where you sing too many notes.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's a simple melody, and that's why there's a part in it when you get to the need, that's when you hit your run. And if you are running all the way up to that, it takes away from that break of the song. There was a bit of oversinging there at the end.
Yeah. But I think it's because that they keep telling her they want to hear the power in her voice. They
right.
want her to really push it and all that. So I think she tries that, but it's not necessarily in the right places or.
Mm-hmm. And the outfit that she wore.
Speaking to the mic.
I'm sorry. I was setting my. It's been taking me like 5 minutes to realize what I wrote in my notes because my handwriting is not so good. The
Your
outfit
handwriting
she wore,
really does suck.
It's the in grade
it's
school.
It's like when you're at the grocery store and you're texting me, like, what did I write on the board? And I just have to take a picture of it and send it to you because I cannot read it.
Yes. You know, if we were married 15 years ago, you would have had to send me a fax of that. The outfit for Lauren, the only thing, the second, you know, the first one, she was in, you know, country mode with the heels, and you know, she looked good in doing it. Second
female time, Johnny Cash, yeah. She's dressed all in black.
Second time, she's got that blue and white, like, low-cut dress on, and the hair in, like, a total Farrah thrown over the eye thing. She looked like one of Charlie's Angels undercover singing on a cruise ship.
She really did.
She needs stylistic help.
Because
she's only 16. And I think Steven Tyler at one point said she was 15. I believe by the website, she's 16. I think they just tell Steven she's 15 and just don't ever change the date so they don't have to worry about him. But, you know, she just needs a little guidance to get into the right clothes.
Yeah.
You're getting, politely put?
Well, you know, even when she's being influenced, like several weeks ago when Gwen Stefani was there, you know, as their stylist.
Yeah. She looked like a country mashup with Gwen Stefani's hair.
Yeah, she was the Daisy Duke Gwen Stefani. I mean, those gingham shorts, that did her butt no favors.
Yes. And again, she's a 16-year-old girl. You shouldn't be just thrown out there on American Idol for 17 million people to make fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I've always tried to be respectful of anyone under the age of 18 on this show and not just rip into them.
I can't help it where Scotty's concerned.
All right.
I mean, I like Scotty, and I've even said, I feel bad for saying anything bad about Scotty because he is young.
What'd you think about Scotty tonight? The fast song was gone. I'm not familiar with that song.
It's a Montgomery Gentry song, but I mean, I guess he did okay on it.
Well, Montgomery Gentry are actually Brooks and Dunn, just letting you know. They're Hall & Oates, maybe?
No. See, in Brooks and Dunn,
they're Big and Dick. Are they? Which are they?
Brooks and Dunn, there was nobody that was hot. And Montgomery Gentry, Troy Gentry is kind of hot.
No, wait a minute. Is this... You don't even know who they are or their songs, and yet you know that one of them is hot.
Okay, well, I know who Troy Gentry is because a friend of mine from high school, her sister, is married to Troy Gentry.
Is this a West Virginia thing?
It's an Ohio thing, you ass.
Okay, you're awfully close to West Virginia.
So
I'm just saying.
It's still Ohio.
Saying. Okay, what Scotty on Gone, I'm not real familiar with the song. I've heard it a couple of times, but I recognized it once he started going. I thought Scotty just knocked it out of the park on the first one. He hasn't been up tempo, and it's a country song, of course, but the odds makers take a beating again. Scotty picks two country songs, but he did it in an up tempo, you know, open the show kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, he did it rock style, and he had good presence. You know, that little bang bang move. I've always wanted to do that. I can't pull it off, but Scotty did. And I have not been high on Scotty for most of the season because he's been a one-trick pony, which is another country band, aren't they? Last week, he kind of stepped out of that finally. Tonight, he did something fast and up-tempo.
Hold his mic like a flute.
Yes, he did. It's true. He finally learned. The Always On My Mind, that's one of my favorite songs. And he did it. Scotty has the country intonation where you start as low as you can go and come up. That bothers me just because he's always doing it. But I thought he did a great job on all this. I think he's the second favorite, according to the Vegas odds makers and our buddy Chris Stuckey, second favorite to win it right after James.
Yeah, I thought he did a really good job tonight.
And he's non-threatening. He's 17.
Oh, I saw something in... I guess it was on the internet. They were comparing like what the American Idol contestants, what celebrity they look like. And they had a picture of Clay Aiken beside him. And he actually kind of did look a lot like Clay.
That's not what you want to hear.
But he did.
If you got to be compared to former contestants, Clay is not good. Ruben's not good. Justin is not good.
I'm trying to remember who they compared Jacob to, but I remember objecting to it. I don't remember who it was. Whatever.
We can Google it later. Okay, so I thought, the only thing about Scotty, and this was the same thing about James, I think everybody knows it, but I'll explain it. You hear yourself through the monitors that are in your ears. They're called IFBs, or there's other names for them. In news, they were IFBs. They're internal feedbacks. They make a mold of your ear, and you put it down your ear, and then they make a cast out of it. And so you plug that thing in your ear, and you run the cord down the back of your neck into your jacket or whatever you're wearing, and you can hear. So they don't have to have monitors on stage. And you hear, sometimes you see, like James tonight when he was talking to Ryan, pulled his out so he could hear, because you can't always hear what's going on around you. Those cords are supposed to go down the back of your neck. They're supposed to go over your ear and down. James's was sticking out there. Scotty's was like a big question mark. I mean, it shot off the side of his ear at about a 45-degree angle north. And just, why wouldn't somebody stop him on the way up the stage? All right, you ready, Scotty? All right, you look like a human question mark. Let me put that down for you. Come on.
I don't know. And James doesn't need anything else to attract attention to his ears.
No. His ears are that one tooth. They don't need to be showing those off. He's got that one tooth.
Yeah.
I think he's hoping for the Bower Sox treatment. They'll get him some dental care.
Too late.
All right. Haley finished out the show. She did... she did the Gaga song first.
Yeah.
It's not even a single yet.
Right.
You and I. But that is a U with the umlauts over the O or over the U, something. So okay. If it's Gaga, it's got to be weird. And finished out with House of the Rising Sun. And I thought she was good. It seemed like a very strong performance for her. But I think she's the one the judges have decided that they want to lose, because they have not been on her side in a couple of weeks.
No. The first song, they definitely didn't care for.
They didn't care for the selection or anything.
Right. But the second song they all seemed to like.
Mm-hmm. They have been... I remember a couple of weeks ago when I pointed out they went an hour and 3 minutes without saying anything negative. The first person they said negative things about was Haley.
Yeah.
And I've said that before. I think she's kind of the whipping girl sometimes. I thought she was good.
Did she go last?
Mm-hmm. She was last tonight. House of the Rising Sun was the closer.
So she was, when they sang their first song, she was the fifth performer?
I believe so. She was after Scotty.
Oh, okay. After well, because I had said something to Jacob about, said the first thing.
But I mean, just a couple of weeks ago when they finally
said
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like Randy for the last couple of weeks has kind of unsheathed it. He's been honest.
He must have watched some reruns of the show or something and be like, oh yeah, I used to give constructive criticism.
How's that working out for me now?
I wasn't always telling everybody that's the best damn thing I've ever heard. Dog.
Yo-yo dog. Okay. Everyone loves Steven Tyler now. He is so useless on this show. He's a hood ornament.
Oh, that was beautiful. Okay. That was beautiful.
We should do this next week. We should write down what he says after each contestant and then ask if you can tell which contestant he's talking about. Because he gave just five random pop rock star answers to, how was I? There's no actual discussion of what happened. Just everything's the best he's ever heard. And I know everybody loves him now. He's got a book. He's on the cover of People magazine. I'm sure he'll have like a cooking show and be dating Rachel Ray soon. I don't know. He's succumbed back into the American population. Everybody loves him now. But he's not helping. I know people love him, but oh boy. I can't tell. He's already sort of at that Paula spot where, before Kara came on, where Paula was just sort of mailing it in. When Kara came on, she kind of had to try.
Well, Steven is the female Paula. And
I think they'd both be upset if you said that.
Jennifer is slightly better. She can give constructive criticism.
She apologizes first, but she can. She
chooses not to generally.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing she said to Jacob tonight, I just wanted to go through the TV and slap her.
I love to watch you watch Jacob and watch the results, because it's like two girl, one cup. Just the shock on your face is just exquisite. When she
what were
said
you
that,
say? What did you say tonight? Because you were like, you really hate him, don't you? But you said something else that was funny. I can't remember what it was.
I don't know. As you say, I talk a lot. So
true.
Yeah, you don't really care a lot for Jacob. I've come around on him. Jacob and Scotty both, I didn't care much for early, but they've done better. Scotty's changed it up a little bit. I think he's doing better. Jacob has just not made me want to kill him for the last 3 or 4 weeks. So I think that's a step up. Just no, still.
Why would you like to sleep on the couch with Jacob tonight?
I think he would appreciate that.
He might.
Okay, so is there any doubt about top and bottom? I mean, top two for me were James and Scotty.
Well, last week they didn't even do a bottom three. The people that were standing on the stage there at the end,
mm-hmm.
Scotty wasn't in the bottom three.
Right.
I know you only half listened to all this
stuff.
I
don't pay much attention.
They never gave a bottom three. They were just like, you're safe, you're safe. You know, you're not safe yet. Mm-hmm. And they just left them. They just did a random elimination thing and, you know, eliminated Casey. But Scotty wasn't in the bottom three. But I think that because they did it the way they did, kind of left the impression to a lot of people mm-hmm. that he was.
Mm-hmm. So he won't be this week because his fans...
Maybe.
You know, his fans are country music fans, and they're from the South, and they probably got skeered. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we go, you must remember tomorrow to record Community. Last week, you dumped off Community to record the entire hour-long suckfest of American Idol. All I want to see at the end of American Idol
is... Yeah, but I heard the Black Eyed Peas are going to be on American Idol. I haven't seen them in minutes.
They were on Sesame Street today, helping the count get to 12. Please.
Here we go. Here we go.
1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Yeah, exactly. It's
I funny, like that boom boom.
Funniest thing on